Be strong and of a good courage, for this, for unto this people, shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. That's found in Joshua chapter 1. Now the second verse I want to read to you, found in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And a third verse I want to read to you in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Bible has many words that are far beyond the value of anything monetary as we know it in this time. Words such as love and grace and heaven. Words that draw us to the Savior. Words of salvation, of peace. All of these are words that are far beyond the value of money. For example, let me recite just a few of them. In Romans 5:8, But God commendeth his love toward us, the love of God, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Galatians 6:14, But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:8-9, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Philippians 4:7, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then, of course, the great word heaven. In Revelation 21, we find it a number of times. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And again we read, And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now these are gracious words. I could not find greater words than love and the cross and grace and peace and heaven. But tonight I want to go aside from these wonderful words of the Bible and give you three words that we'll attempt to put a value upon. Other words may be beyond value. They're so great that we cannot place any estimate of their worth. But upon these, perhaps we can say they're million-dollar words. Here's the first one, the word courage. The word courage. Be strong and of a good courage. This was given unto Joshua by the Lord. This is the world of weakness and fear. These things are ever present all around us. You'll see them tonight, tomorrow, all of the time. Weakness and fear. Now it's necessary that we have a certain amount of weakness and we know our weakness. Then we have a certain fear and know the fear. A fear of things that may be wrong, that may hurt us and hurt our families, and we should turn from. But we should not surrender to weakness and the fear. But we should take our stand and have courage. Courage in the Lord. Now follow quickly, if you will. First, we must have courage when the way is hard. Courage in the time of poverty. Courage in the time of illness. Courage when adversity comes upon us. Courage when all of your difficulties, like the sea billows, may roll. Now, have courage. Courage when opposition may come upon us. I watch students coming into our schools. Very fine young men and young women. Sometime they'll be here for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month, 2 months, and even longer. But after a while, something happens. They lose courage and say, Well, I can't stay. I don't have the money. I can't find a job. Everything's gone wrong. And so they quickly throw up their hands and surrender and go their ways and leave the school. But others come. Others come, and they stand fast. They say, I can do the job. Others have done it. I'm going to do it. And they stay with it, though they don't have the money. And jobs may be hard to get. They still work on and say, somehow I'm going to keep going and win the battle and be courageous and do what God wants me to do. Now, we must have courage when the way is hard. God commands us to be of good courage. Then again, there must be courage when opposition is facing us. The Christian will always have some opposition if he's living for Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us so. And the Savior had opposition. The Son of God had opposition. And the opposition carried him to the cross and nailed him there, and he died in your place and in mine. Courage when opposition comes. I find the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost preaching when the people were against him. They said, Why, this is foolish, and these men are filled with new wine. And the Apostle Peter said, It's not so. He said, The power of God is upon us. And he gave his message, and 3,000 souls were saved. I see the Apostle Paul, one of the world's greatest men. Some people say the world's greatest Christian who ever lived was Paul. I don't know. But certainly a great man, Paul with courage, and standing when suffering came upon him. welcome opposition when it comes because of your stand for Jesus. If you stand for the Savior, and the opposition comes and say, welcome to the opposition. If people ridicule, and they scoff at you, and they say, well, this is foolish. But you say, I'm standing because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Because of my stand for the Savior, then welcome any opposition that may come. And stand against the worst foe that can ever be brought against you. They tell us the story, a legend perhaps, but it illustrates the point, of a chieftain who came to Alexander the Great and gave him 3 dogs that he said had tremendous courage. And this chieftain said, if you'll put these dogs in any place where courage is needed, they'll always have it. Alexander the Great took the dogs. He put them out in a certain field, and he said, I want to test them out, and so he turned a stag into the field. The dogs went over one side and closed their eyes and went to sleep. He said, I'll send something else, and he sent in a hind. They turned away and went to sleep, paid no attention to it. Sent in an antelope. They turned away and went to sleep. And Alexander the Great looked at him and said, well, these dogs have no courage. He said, they have nothing. They wouldn't fight at all. And he had them killed. In a short time, the chieftain came back, and he wanted to ask how his dogs were getting along. Then he found out the story. The dogs had been killed, and Alexander the Great had been angry because the dog didn't seem to have any courage against the stag and the antelope. Then the chieftain said, you're foolish. He said, King, you're a great king, but you're foolish. You're foolish. He said, you sent in just these tame animals against my dogs. He said, if you sent a lion or a tiger, he said, then you would have found out that they had courage. Oh, my dear friends, sometimes we imagine we have a courage, you know, when things are not going so bad. But I wonder if you have the courage to stand when the greatest adversity may come, when the most horrific things may be thrown against you. Are you standing courage to believe in God and know that He'll bring you out of every place of danger? Daniel had courage. Daniel said, yes, I'll pray to God. They said, we'll cast you into the den of lions. He said, I'll pray to God just the same. And he prayed. And the 3 Hebrew children prayed and took their stand for God also and said, we're not going to worship the heathen idols. And the apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, he said, despite all danger, I'm going to stand for my Christ. Then thirdly, my friends, we must have courage when the flesh is weak. When the flesh is weak. I have 2 pictures of Simon Peter. They're great pictures, but one is a little sad. One is a picture of Simon Peter when he was standing in the outer court, and when he cursed and said, I never knew him. I never knew him. I never knew Jesus. His courage was all gone. Then I have a 2nd picture of Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he stood and preached and defied every enemy. When they cast him into prison, he came walking out, throwing his chains to his side, and said, I'll take my stand for Jesus Christ. Courage when the flesh is weak. There may be times in your life when you'll be like Simon Peter in the outer court, and the opposition may be laughing at you and saying you haven't got anything. Then's the time to stand and say, I have courage to stand for my Savior. He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. I want you to put on the $1 million word, the word courage. But I have a 2nd one. Follow me now. That's the word loyalty. The word loyalty. When the apostle came to the close of the chapter on the resurrection, he said, be steadfast. That means be loyal. Unmovable. That means be loyal. To stand in your place, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Loyalty, steadfastness. What marvelous characteristics are these. Now listen. First, there must be loyalty unto God. Loyalty unto God. This is inner. This is inner. We can't see this very much. You can't see it at all sometimes. It's in the heart. Are you loyal to God? Are you standing for God? Will you stand with the truth of God and refuse to bow down if everything comes against you? First, loyalty unto God. Secondly, you must be loyal to your convictions. To your convictions. Inside. Now, this is inner and outward also. Loyalty to God may be in the heart and may not be seen by men, but convictions. Loyal will be inner and outer. You'll see a man who is loyal to his convictions. He'll take a stand. He'll refuse to drink a wine when they try to put it in his hands. He'll refuse to take even a smoke. He'll say, no, I take my stand for God, for righteousness, and I cannot do these things. He'll refuse to allow himself to be brought into any impure thinking or impure talking. He'll refuse to join with any crowd that may be sinful. The crowds that are so tempting and so testing to our young people in this day and time, in high schools, in colleges. Where was I the other day when somebody came up to me and said this? Said, Brother Robertson, you don't know what a battle we've got in our high school. I said, what do you mean? Then this friend went on to say, I'm in the high school. I happen to know this was not in Chattanooga, though we've got maybe situations that need to be corrected, but this was outside of our city. They
I went on to tell of the immorality in the high school and the sin of the high school. Whether they were telling the truth or lying, I know not. I simply repeat what this young person said from the high school. Then with a little bit of shame said, and I've been engaging in some of the evil also. Oh, listen, young people. Be loyal to your convictions and refuse to bow down to all of the hosts of sin and of hell as they come against you. Be loyal to Christ. Whatever the difficulty may be loyal to your convictions. I picked up the morning newspaper in Atlanta, Georgia, on yesterday morning and read a story. I'd already heard the story back up in Spartanburg, South Carolina on Friday night. A man came to me and he said, I've got a good story to tell you. He said, this is amazing. He said, I've got a friend of mine who has been in jail now for almost 2 years' time, I think it was. This man was convicted of committing a crime. They said he was going to go to the electric chair. He said, my friend has been free. My friend is not guilty. And he's coming out free. And I listened to a story that I read it all on Saturday morning at the airport in Atlanta and told the story of this man who had been found guilty by the jury in the trial of killing another man. But he hadn't killed anyone. But during the 2 years' time that he was behind the bars, and twice, I think, they had delayed his death, and kept going along, the lawyer, just an humble lawyer, but he kept on fighting away. And the lawyer kept on traveling up and down the country, asking people, talking to folks, everywhere, and he said, my man's not guilty, and he kept his conviction that he wasn't guilty, and kept on fighting and working, until just a few hours ago, a man confessed in the Atlanta penitentiary that he had done the killing, not the other man at all. And if they had electrocuted the first one, he would have died without cause because he wasn't guilty. But the other man said, I did the killing. But here was a lawyer, faithful and loyal, just keeping at it, just going at it for 2 years' time, just driving away, trying to find some wedge that would call from the truth and bring it out. Until finally success came. Oh, loyalty. Loyal to your convictions. Then again, we must be loyal to the work of Jesus Christ. Loyal to the work of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was loyal. Listen to it. He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. He said, I've done the job. I've been faithful. Would it be true of you tonight if your life should come to an end this evening? If suddenly your life should terminate at this time, would it be said of you that you were loyal right down to the end to the work of Jesus Christ? As a soul winner, as a Sunday school teacher, as an usher, as a deacon, whatever you may be, have you been loyal to Jesus Christ? Not a matter what somebody says about you. It's not a matter what the church says about you. It's not a matter what your preacher says about you. Have you been loyal? Have you been loyal? That's the thing that counts. You may bear scars of all the battles. You may have the bruises that have come to you as you've gone along life's way, but have you been loyal? Now, Paul was loyal. He was loyal, but many have not been faithful. Many have not been loyal in season, out of season, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to have these words. Hold to them. They're million-dollar words. I would, God, that I could have it spoken to me that I'm courageous. Courageous that I have courage. And secondly, that I'm loyal. Loyal to my convictions. I want to be that way. And I'll ask you to join with me in everything. I haven't done this since I've been here. But I want you to know that I believe in what I hold to and what I preach. And I want to be loyal to the thing that I believe is right. Courage and loyalty. Let these two be marks of your life. And the third one, listen to me. The third word, $1 million word, is the word obedience. Obedience. Courage. Loyalty. Obedience. It was Samuel who said to King Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. King Saul said, I'm going to save the best and sacrifice it unto the Lord. And Samuel said, wait a minute, King, you're foolish. He said, it's better to obey God than do anything. It's better to obey God than do anything. Some of you may try to spend yourselves and your money in the pursuits of the Lord's work in certain ways, thinking that by this you can escape the matter of doing what God wants you to do. You may be like the young man who said, well, I think God called me to preach, but he said, I'm going on the way and try to make some money and help somebody else along. He failed to obey God. And when we fail to obey the Lord, then we fail to have the joy of the Lord. Webster tells us that obedience means a willingness to obey, a submissiveness to restraint, to control or command. Obedience means to bow down and say, Lord, thy will be done. How simple, how beautiful is the life of obedience. Obedience solves the time problem. I never have any trouble with time. I wish I had a little more of it. I wish I had more time. But I have no trouble with what I've got. Obedience to God solves the time problem. No question about where I'm going Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And all the rest of the time as God gives me the opportunity. Obedience will solve the time problem, and you'll never spend your time in sinful pursuits if you love God and if you obey Christ. Obedience solves the money problem. No trouble about my money. I know what to do with it. I'm not going to waste it. I'm not going to spend it for liquor. I'm not going to spend it for wild times of this world. I want to give my tithe and then honor God with everything that I have. And obedience will solve the money problem. And obedience will solve the social problem. You don't have to worry about where you're going. Just ask God. Just ask God. And God will give you leadership on every single question. Don't you worry at all. He'll lead you. And obedience will solve the work problem. The work problem. Our Savior was a worker. He commands us to work. It'll solve the family problem. Family will be kept in the center of the will of God if we follow Christ. And obedience will solve the prayer problem. The prayer problem. If we obey our Christ, then we'll be praying and spending time in prayer and looking to Him. Obedience. Obedience. Would you say tonight, yes, I want to be an obedient servant of the Lord. I want to do what God says, what Christ said, what this Bible says. I want to obey my Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. I'll give my obedience to Jesus Christ. I'm not asking any questions about what somebody else says. I'm just going to listen to the Lord. I'm going to obey Him. I'm not going to pay attention to my family, what the family says. I'll pay no attention to my wife. She says, do so and so. I'll obey God and do what God says. Or the husband, or the children. I'll do what God says. I'll obey Christ every single step of the way. This takes away worry. This gives peace of heart. This lets you rest on the Lord and say, I'm in Him. I'm trusting Him. He's mine. Commit your all to Him, your family to Him, your home to Him, your life to Him, your work to Him, everything to Him. Obey Christ. There's not a single man in this building has to do anything that'll dishonor Jesus Christ. Not a man. You say that my work, I don't care what your work is. You can't stand up tonight and show me one job, one single job that commands that you turn away from your convictions and from your loyalty to Jesus Christ. Every day, no matter where you go, every day you're to take your stand and say, I'm on the side of Jesus Christ. I've committed myself to Him. You young people of the high schools, don't you dare come around to me and say, well, in a high school they do so and so, and I've got to go along with the rest of them. Not so, not so. You take your stand for Jesus Christ. You obey Him and be loyal to Him and be courageous. Let these million-dollar words lay hold of your hearts. Have courage. Be loyal and be obedient to the Savior every single step of the way. When I bring a message like this, I pray that God somehow will speak to the hearts of all the people, that young folks will say, yes, I can see it now. I will be courageous. I will be courageous to my convictions and my Savior. I will be loyal to Jesus Christ. I will obey Him every step of the way. I care not what the cost may be. Then it may be that tonight you'll step across the line from a line of shaky, in and out life, a life of obedience one day, disobedience the next day, a life that's spasmodic and vacillating, a life that's never steady and true. You'll step over the line and say, by God's grace, from now on I'll live for Jesus. I'll be courageous. I'll be loyal. And I'll obey Him every step of the way. Jenny Lind, the great singer, made the statement. She said, I got up one morning as one creature. She said, I went to bed another creature. I'd found my power. Jenny Lind found her power as a singer. Jenny Lind was also known as one who believed in Christ. But Jenny Lind, the great singer, said, I got up one morning and one way, and before nightfall, I passed over to the other side to know what God wanted me to do. I knew what He wanted out of my life. I was ready to do what He said. Listen to me. Listen to me. Are you ready here tonight? Would you pass from your place? Would you step into a new world that Christ has for you? Would you step into the line of obedience to Him and do what He says? Right over the line. That's what it means. That's what it means. Out and out for God, completely sold out to Jesus Christ so that He might have your life completely. Follow Him. Follow Him. Don't follow after this world. Don't follow after your best friend unless that friend is following Jesus. Don't follow after publicity. Don't follow after the desires of this world. Don't follow after the newspaper. Don't follow after the radio and the television. Don't follow after anything but follow after Jesus. And say, I'm going to follow Him. This one thing I do following Jesus Christ. May we bow in prayer. I've given you $3 million words. Three words. Courage. Loyalty, obedience. Courage to stand for Christ. Loyalty, be loyal in every time of conflict. Obedience, who obeyed Jesus Christ every step of the way. I wonder tonight how many of you will walk out of your places and take your stand on the side of Jesus. How many of you will come from the balcony and downstanders and say, yes, I want to take my stand with Jesus tonight. Some of you will come by profession of faith. You've just been saved in the last week or days. I don't know when it was. But you'll come tonight by profession of faith. Others of you may come by letter or by statement. Others of you might come for rededication of your lives. I pray that many Christians will do so tonight. That you'll come out and take your stand on the side of Jesus Christ. Young man in the balcony, will you listen to me? Young man, will you listen to me, sir, right there? I want you to hear me. Shut your mouth. You have no business talking to your girl. You talk to me. Look at me. Let me talk to you. Listen to me, friend. Will you let God have his way tonight? Will you come out and out for Jesus? Out and out for Christ? With courage. Establish yourself upon the foundation. Say, I'm following Jesus. Sinner friend, will you come? Heavenly Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit might have his way. We pray that every man, every woman, every child will have a desire, a determination to say, Lord, thy will be done. Thy holy will be done. We pray that tonight thou wilt speak to hearts, that men and women will walk out of their places and will come on the side of Christ. Some have been wandering about. Some have been vacillating from one side to the other. Some have not been faithful. We pray that tonight thou wilt call out the Christians here. Call out the young people. Call out the mothers and fathers, that they might say, we take our stand for Jesus with courage and with loyalty and with determination to obey him in everything. May the sinners come to Jesus Christ. May the Christians say, Lord, thy will be done in Jesus' blessed name. Everybody pray. Everybody pray, asking God what he would have you to do. Oh, Christian, will you come out of your place now? Will you let God have his way with you? Oh, sinner, will you come to Jesus Christ in this hour? Father, speak, we pray now, to many in this building for Jesus' sake. Amen.